This is KG My's Pet Pulse, a weekly segment where we talk things related to making sure your pet gets the best care they can get. And it's brought to you by Whatcom Veterinary Hospital. Heartworms, fleas, and ticks, they are more prevalent in the spring and the summer. It is strongly recommended to get monthly preventative treatment for your pet. Contact Whatcom Veterinary Hospital for a wellness exam today. Joining us as usual is Kate Woods. She is the practice manager over at Whatcom Veterinary Hospital. So, Kate, a lot of folks are beginning to plan their excursions this spring and summer. Maybe they already have, and they're wondering the last minute plans, or maybe they thought about this in advance, but they're probably thinking about how their pet is going to get cared for. What are some best practices for determining who is a good and qualified pet sitter for your animal?
I mean, it's really personal preference. A lot of people these days prefer not to board their dogs. Some people don't really have a choice. It really depends on, can you bring your pet somewhere? Can it stay with grandma, grandpa, family member, friend? Can it stay at home and somebody stay with your pets? Or are you just simply not into that and you don't have the space or the accommodations for the house sitter? And then you can simply just bring them to the boarding facilities, which all are really great in the Whatcom area.
So let's talk about the scenario where you do have to leave your pet at home. And obviously with dogs, you can go for the boarding thing, or you could go and hire a pet sitter and go from there. And what sort of qualifications should you be looking for someone, maybe someone you're not aware of, or someone who's really good at pet sitting? What are some of the things you want to look out for when going through the hiring process?
Yeah, if you have a rapport with them, first and foremost, is definitely good. If you know that they have a history of pet sitting, or just simply finding out their experience of pet sitting and finding out if they have any experience with animals whatsoever, it's really not that difficult of a job depending on who you are as a pet parent. You might be a little more particular about who stays home with your pets, but it's a pretty easy job as long as your pets get along with the sitter.
And that's a fair point. In the event that they don't, or it's a little bit of a contentious situation, I imagine you proceed with caution in that case, or just go drop it and find someone new.
Ideally, it would be best to find somebody who your pet did get along with, but in a pinch, you got to make the decisions that you got to make and proceed with caution and always be careful with somebody else's pets. It's the number one rule.
There we go. Now, for those heading out for the vacation, you're leaving your pet behind, whether it is your cat or your dog. There are things you should leave behind so that the sitter can take note of if you're not able to do a full walkthrough with them beforehand. There are things you should leave behind and make sure you're well stocked up on before you depart for your trip. What are some of those things you should have on hand when you leave your house?
Yeah, always have a plan in place. That's the number one rule when leaving your pets home with somebody. Making sure that there is enough food, extra food if possible, making sure their medications have been filled, and not calling the vet clinic on the last day before you leave for vacation to rush them to get your medications filled. That's always a fun one. Making sure that they have the comforts and the needs that they would have if you're home with them on a regular basis.
There we go. I know with the summer and spring months approaching, it might be tempting to turn off the heat on your way out, obviously to save on some power bills, but we're still not quite out of the woods with those cooler temperatures yet. What's your advice in that scenario?
I mean, make sure your house is as comfortable as you would like it. If your pets are going to be home as if you were home, or if somebody was home with your pets, keep it the same temperature, just drop it a little bit lower to save on the energy for sure.
There we go. And obviously, let me try to reconnect my thoughts back here. My apologies. So we've been speaking mostly about dogs being sat at the house. Cats as well also need some time and attention every once in a while to make sure they're up and around and thriving. Litter in their case, I imagine keeping some extra litter on hand wouldn't be a bad thing either, right?
Oh, absolutely not. You never know when a cat's going to make a big mess in the litter box.
There we go. So if the hypothetically, if the sitter has issues with your pets while you're away, whether they, leave an accident on the carpet, or if they do go down the worst case scenario path, they do get sick or they do get injured, best practices for leaving emergency contact information with that sitter, that also good practice, right?
Absolutely. We highly recommend and require a consent to treat if you are out of town and somebody else is in care of your pets. That can be accessed on our website. There's a simple link under client resources. It's 100% required. It tells us everything we need to know about what we need to do to treat your pet when you are not able to speak on their behalf.
Excellent. Excellent. Now, the other thing I was thinking about recently, pet insurance. A lot of pet owners are encouraged to get pet insurance for their pets. That usually covers the bulk of vet bills and medications and things of that nature. Does pet insurance, and if you don't know the answer to this question, that's totally cool, but does pet insurance also cover incidents that happen while you're out of the house with their sitter?
I think so. As long as it's covered under your pet insurance, there are a lot of different variables with pet insurance. Some of them only cover incidentals, and then some of them only cover general health and wellness. So make sure that you have a health insurance plan for your pet that caters to everything that you're looking for.
Okay, fabulous. Now, let's talk the other side of the coin. You are able to take your pet on a trip with you. Yay! Whether it is on a plane or you're heading out in an RV or a car somewhere, some folks really do want to make sure their four-legged companion stays with them the whole time. What are some good tips for pet parents who want to take their pet out and about, either on wheels, a plane, or heck, even a boat?
Yeah. If you're in the car, definitely get a seatbelt for your pet. You may think it's silly, but it could literally save your pet's life. Even in a short rear-ending accident, a fender bender, your pet could still fly into that windshield and cause some major damage. So safety first. Make sure that they're secure. Make sure that they have a safe place. Crates, kennels, even collapsibles are appropriate. Make sure that they're on a leash at all times. If you go into an off-leash area, make sure that their recall is 100%. You're in a whole new area that they've never been before. They don't know the smells. They don't know where to find you. So just keeping them safe. If you're on a boat, life jackets are definitely recommended, especially if you're on a recreational boat. And then flying, just keeping them with you, making sure that they're marked, making sure that they're comfortable. A lot of people like to make sure that they are going to do well in the car, do well traveling, so they do test runs. And if their pets don't do well, they can definitely contact us. We can get them set up with some medications that can help them make the ride a little bit easier on their nerves.
Got it. And those are mostly like anti-anxiety, calm down sort of medications. What sort of options are available for those?
Yeah, there's oral medications that are available. For dogs, there's a lot wider of a variety of medications. Cats, we don't have the medication yet, but they are now releasing new medications for anti-anxiety for cats to help make their experiences a little bit easier as well.
Ooh, I'm going to have to try those out. Mine does not like traveling one bit. My cat, that is, hates traveling. She knows, she sees my car, she goes, I'm not getting in that thing. Even just to go to the vet can be a bit of a hassle. And I try to keep her, I didn't realize the pet seatbelt thing was such an important thing. I take her in a cat backpack and I buckle that in anytime we do have to go and drive anywhere. Is that still safe for cats, or should I be?
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, buckling in their kennel, making sure it's secure, is absolutely a safe option for traveling with cats.
There we go. As for that cat medication, I have tried. I have had to take her places on a couple of occasions, and I've seen some calming anxiety treats. She won't touch them. She's a food fiend, as we've discussed previously, but she will not touch these anti-anxiety treats. What's the medication? What are the details about that anti-anxiety medication that you folks are getting up at the hospital?
Yeah, so for most cases, we just use a little bit of gabapentin. It's a sedative/pain medication, and it can help a lot with their anxiety in cats. And that's what's most widely used for cats.
Okay. In a pill form, is it a topical? Is it a spray? Are there multiple varieties?
Yeah, so it's a capsule. I'm sure other places have it in a pill form or a liquid form, but we have it. We carry it in a capsule form. You usually just mix it in with their normal food, and they gobble it up, and you notice the effects a couple hours later.
You hope they don't notice that they're taking a pill on top of that, because, I mean, we could go on all day about trying to give pets their medication. I mean, pills are probably the most difficult one to try and sneak one in there. But, hey, if they're a food fiend, maybe they won't notice. I don't know.
Yeah, hopefully not.
Hopefully not. So work on that anti-anxiety medication if you can get it, if you're traveling, if you've got a fussy pet, or if you've got a pet that really, really wants to go leaps and bounds ahead with the traveling band and they don't really need that anti-anxiety stuff. They just want to go out and explore. Any other bits of advice you could give for those owners?
Yeah, just make sure you carry a first aid kit for humans and pets at all times. Make sure you're prepared for everything. Make sure that you have enough water with you. For you and your pet. And then, you know, snacks are always tolerated and appreciated as well.
Bingo. That's and refuse bags, especially if you've got a dog. Those we can't stress enough the importance of cleaning up after your pets.
Of course. And don't just leave them on the trail. That's the worst part about it.
Yeah, we don't like you folks. If you do that and you're out there and you're listening, you think you're guilty of that, you're a frequent flyer, we don't like you. Please get some bags. We believe in you. There it is. I can't get better advice than that. And I think most other folks out there on the trails could probably agree. And it's one thing to just bag it up, but you got to also put it in the trash as well, too. That's part of that.
Absolutely. Don't just leave your bagged poop. You made it one step. You might as well go the rest of the way.
Thank you. Kate Woods, the practice manager from Whatcom Veterinary Hospital, with tips on either traveling with your pet or what to do when you got to leave that four-legged friend at home while you're out on an adventure. Kate, again, thank you so much. We'll chat again next week.
Yeah, thank you.